versus Halstead. Ms. Aganaw, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the courtroom. That appears to have occurred, so you may approach and you may proceed.
May I please support? My name is Julie Aganaw. I'm here on behalf of the relator, the Council for the Defense. Today I'm here on an original disciplinary action against an attorney, Rodney Halstead. Formal charges were filed against Mr. Halstead alleging violations that included he failed to demonstrate competence and diligence in communication with the client, he failed to demonstrate candor towards the tribunal, and general misconduct. Mr. Halstead filed an answer either admitting or not denying those allegations, so a motion for judgment on the pleadings was filed and granted as to the facts. We had a hearing back in February regarding sanctions, and the referee, Mr. Gooch, wrote a recommendation, and his recommendation based upon those violations of Mr. Halstead is that Mr. Halstead's license to practice law should be suspended for a one-year period. During his period of suspension, he should complete certain CLEs during that time, and then upon reinstatement, he should be under supervision for a period of time, and his practice should be limited during that same period of time that he not be able to take guardianship and conservatorship cases. The facts, as you have them before you, Mr. Halstead was appointed as a guardian for an individual in 2009. Between 2010 and 2015, Mr. Halstead filed six separate reports with the court claiming contact with the ward, contact with the individuals who had control over the ward's money, and that he, you know, no changes had been made. In the end of 2015, early 2016, I believe a visitor was appointed. The visitor went to see the ward, found out the ward had actually moved from that facility in 2011, whereas Mr. Halstead had been reporting since 2010 that the ward was still there through the end of 2015 and nothing had changed. At the hearing, it came out that actually Mr. Halstead had not seen the ward since 2009, so even his first report reported false information to the court. He stated at that hearing that he was reporting more his aspirations for contact, which doesn't really make sense. I mean, he specifically reported, I spoke to him several times during the month or via telephone. I spoke to the individuals who had control over his money.
Did he charge for those alleged visits?
I'm sorry?
Did he submit a charge for those alleged visits?
No, he didn't. He was paid initially by, I believe, UNMC for the original guardianship application, but received no further funding after that time.
Well, it's not a case where he's making false claims for money that he never earned.
No, there were no allegations regarding that. He wasn't paid after that point in time.
In the sort of the hierarchy of culpability of the offenses that we're talking about, in terms of what actually happened with respect to his not visiting, there really was no harm that was associated with
Luckily,
that.
Luckily, there was no harm to the ward. The ward was fine and actually flourishing in his new residence.
Thus, the culpable, or the most culpable conduct was that of the false reporting.
Yes.
And in this instance, the record from the hearing suggests a little bit of waffling about having done so deliberately and with knowledge of the true facts.
I think there was some dispute at that at the hearing, and Mr. Halstead didn't give a very good explanation as to why. The referee wrote in his report that he didn't believe he lied to cover up his neglect, but I would submit to the court, why else would you lie? I mean, why would he make that contact that he didn't have except for to cover up his neglect? He could have just wrote on those forms if he was neglecting the case, but he didn't want to cover up the neglect, he could have just said no changes because he'd received no calls, no information that there was any trouble with that ward. But he took it a step further and made false representations to the court on six separate occasions. So there was some dispute, you're right.
And tell us your view as to why that is particularly culpable and what we ought to do in response to it.
Well, I believe, and I think this court has also found, that when an attorney makes false representations to the court, it puts the court and the attorney in a poor light, that we're here to uphold the law, and that he was charged with representing this ward, and he didn't do that, and he lied about it to the court. And in fact, in 2012, I believe, an attestation was actually added to that report that he had to attest that everything that he put in the report was true and accurate. So I think that it's a very egregious violation, and it wasn't just one violation. He repeated it 6 different times.
Do you think it makes any difference under our disciplinary rules whether that attestation language is on the form or not?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, I think that he was held to tell the truth any time he filed something with the court. But I think, as the referee noted, that should have clicked with him when he saw that attestation, that, gosh, I need to be truthful. So I think it was more a reminder. I don't think it changed his obligation.
Thank you.
Who or what initiated the visitor appointment in this discovery?
Mr. Halsted had actually filed to be removed as the guardian. He wanted to be done. He filed that earlier, either late 2014 or early 2015. That was denied because they had no one else to take over the case. In late 2015, he again filed. The judge appointed a visitor, and the visitor went out, found out that the ward had moved and the information was incorrect. And so the visitor was then obviously appointed, Mr. Halsted was removed, and the judge made the complaint to my office regarding that conduct.
If the statement, the false statements had not been made, do you think this case would have been pursued simply on the basis of the issue of neglect? If he simply reported, I think everything is going fine, but I've done nothing to verify it, and nobody has told me anything to the contrary.
If he made truthful filings to the court, we may not be here. It's hard to extrapolate that because he did. But if it was a neglect case, we may have handled it differently. I mean, to Mr. Halsted's credit, once this all came to light, he's been very cooperative with my office. He never corrected his false statements with the court at any point in time in those 6 years. But once the grievance came to my office and we began our investigation, he's been cooperative with that. He can't really explain why he did it, but he's been cooperative. You know, he admitted to the allegations and has not, the exception was filed by the respondent, not by the relator, as to the sanction.
And actually serving after the initial proceedings without compensation is in the highest traditions of the bar.
And I don't believe that that's a mitigating factor, that he did it for money, or if he was receiving money or not. He should have met the same standards of any attorney doing that job.
The court and the legal profession, or the courts and the legal profession, have sort of gotten a black eye about guardianships and conservatorships over the last 5 years or so. Should that enter into the civil?
I don't think Mr. Halsted should be held more responsible for other members of the bar that they have done and not done within the guardianship and conservatorship. I think that he should be judged for what he did, but sanctions should be relative. I know that this court always looks at similar cases, similar sanctions, similar actions. In this court, I know for any individual, and almost exclusively for individuals who've made misrepresentations to the court, this court has given a period of suspension to the individual, and I think Mr. Halsted should be judged against those, not against the black mark on guardianships and conservatorships. I would just refer the court to, there are several cases that I think are very helpful that were referenced in the briefs. I won't go through those and bore you and reiterate. I will just say that I know that the respondent referred to two cases that I don't find to be very helpful. The first one he referred to was Papard, which Papard was a conflict case. He was disciplined for, and he received a public reprimand for representing two individuals on conflicting interests. The only nexus would be that there was a guardian involved, but Mr. Papard was not even the guardian. So I would ask you not to consider that case. And then Connor was an individual who was appointed as a guardian, and he neglected his duties as a guardian, which is similar to Halstead. Mr. Connor was given, I believe, a 30-day suspension, where I believe that Mr. Halstead's case should be elevated beyond a 30-day suspension, obviously, is that he lied in the court, and I think that that makes his conduct more egregious, and he should receive a heavier sanction. The referee had recommended a one-year suspension. I believe that that should be the floor for suspensions for him, and I ask you to suspend Mr. Halstead for at least a one-year period.
Thank you very much. Is it Mr. Anderson? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Please report. This is the report and the recommendation of Mr. Gooch. Of course, it's two parts. The portion of it, you really have no quarrel with. It was pretty extensive and spelled out in general most of the facts and circumstances to which Mr. Halstead, with a great amount of remorse, has indeed fell on the sword and admitted everything that he did about it. I think, legally speaking, the Council on Discipline is putting excessive weight on the repeat offense portion of this. And naturally, it's true. There were 6 years running, 5 years running, of which it was the same form report that he would answer the same way. And the report and the findings of the referee show that he was more or less rubber stamping the prior one he did under this assumption that if there was an issue or problem with this board, he would notify Mr. Hall. It was a bad assumption on his part, but that was where his serious falling down was, and he is guilty awful about it. But this is the only time he's ever had his entire career. So therefore, it is important to look at the recommendation part of the report itself, and that's the only part we have a problem with, because the cases that are in there are really extreme, really way more extensive than what this situation was.
Counsel, as I understood your brief, you were arguing for a reprimand?
How I might put this is, if one accepts the premise that the entire system of courts depends on absolute candor from lawyers, how can we possibly justify a public reprimand?
In an absolute sense, the system does require complete candor of the attorneys. A public reprimand, of course, is indeed an embarrassment. It is a serious reputation hit of Mr. Halstead to take. It is something that other attorneys then are also made aware of because of that, as a deterrent to other things like this happening. That's why the reprimand is part of it.
How do you think the public would view a public reprimand? Do you think they would consider it as a serious consequence, or do you think the average citizen would view it as a slap on the hand?
I believe that the public views these things seriously. With the internet these days and with the reporting of the newspapers, everybody looks online and sees the attorney. Everything comes up when they Google somebody. Boom, there it is.
I think the question was not directed to the publication of it. It would be the perception if this was a sufficient discipline.
I think it has to be weighed with the situation itself. Anytime there's a public reprimand, somebody in the public would then be asking them what happened, which he would have to explain himself on an individual basis to anybody who cared. Now, since I filed this, and since the brief, you folks have seen Fraser, Bitch, Gast, and Garrison. And so, not only am I talking about Ralph Lepard, and Jim Connor, who I stood here and argued I was representative of Jim Connor's situation, which the Council on Discipline asked for 90 days, and he was given it. But I know the Ralph Lepard situation very well, too, which is why I brought it up. Those are also both Douglas County cases. They're very recent cases, and so I think they become more relevant by locality as well as that.
What difference does locality make when we're talking about candor to a tribunal? Isn't a tribunal in Keapaha County just as entitled to candor as a tribunal in Douglas County and vice versa?
Yes. For candor purposes, absolutely.
So you lost me there. What does the venue have anything to do with the seriousness of this offense?
I was just, if nothing else, community standard. I was just going with the basic principles of negligence, per se, with regard to what is the community standard for what attorneys do in a particular locale. But for ethical purposes, it's truth from Scott's Bluff to Nebraska City, or south. The reason why I mentioned, of course, Finch and Fraser is because of the fact that you folks are very well acquainted with these situations, and they both were public reprimand types of cases of which an attorney who didn't have any other bent serious from the past, something that was relatively rectified, not immediately, but rectified without any harm to anybody, which the attorney corrected those things as soon as they could. And Mr. Halls didn't get the opportunity, if you will, to correct it, per se. When the visitor, public visitor, was appointed on a thing, they carried it from there.
So based on your arguments that you're making, we must look to other cases that have similar factual situations. If we give a public reprimand in this case, then every lawyer who lies to the court in subsequent cases should not be given anything more than a public reprimand.
Depends on the lie, for sure. All lies are not equal. As a matter of fact, even in this case, it wasn't like Mr. Halsey took the witness stand, was asked questions point blank, which he would verbalize.
Well, then he's committing perjury, isn't he?
I'm sorry?
Then he's committing perjury.
Correct.
I think the Council for Discipline is saying the attestation kind of raised the stakes.
Understand.
In terms of authenticity.
And that's the boilerplate language on a form to that extent.
Well, it's not boilerplate. It's there for a reason, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And it's new, isn't it?
I don't know if it's new or not. But it's true. It would at least give a person pause to do that. Could have made a phone call. Could have checked once after all those years, and he totally agrees with that. He should have, he could have, he would have, and he didn't. Fully, fully take responsibility for that. Mr. Halstead has a full-time law practice with two employees. Their livelihood matters a lot on this thing as well. Having a year suspension shuts down the law practice entirely. He's an estate planning attorney and a probate attorney. That's his specialty. So it's not like he would go back and come back to this after a year. There'll be a devastating blow completely to an entire law career, which has been a good career. Yes, there were 20 letters of recommendation in connection with it, that's also mentioned in the report, to which he was kind of bashed a little bit for the letter of recommendation, not specifying to the individuals who made the letters about the circumstances and facts about this. Well, he didn't tell them that. It was a general recommendation, a general referral. It wasn't about somebody being asked to give their opinion about this case. Mr. Halstead has a good reputation, has had a good reputation. And from some of those letters of recommendation, I think those are expressing that. So the harm, the severity of something, of a long suspension, could be not only painful, it could probably be fatal to his career, I don't think is deserved. Thank you all for your time. Any other questions, I'm happy to hold it out. But nevertheless, I think that pretty much says it all. So you folks have seen cases monthly in this area. And we're, again, very, very sorry to have to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there time for rebuttals? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day.